Thank you for joining our live broadcast. Listen after the broadcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Exodus chapter 25. There was a doctor, there was a lawyer, a little boy, and a preacher, and they were out for a Sunday afternoon flight on a small private plane. And suddenly the plane developed engine trouble, and in spite of the best efforts of the pilot, the plane started to go down. Finally, the pilot grabbed a parachute, yelled to the passengers that they had better jump and bail out. Unfortunately, there was only 3 parachutes left. The doctor grabbed one and says, "Listen," he said, "guys, I'm a doctor. I save lives, so I can't die. I've got to live," and he jumped out. The lawyer then said, "I'm a lawyer, and lawyers are the smartest people in the world. I deserve to live." He grabbed a parachute and jumped. The preacher looked at the little boy, and he said, "Son," he said, "I've lived a long, good life." He said, "I'm at the end of my life anyway." He says, "You go ahead, son, and you take the last parachute, and you live in peace." And the little boy handed the parachute back to the preacher and said, "Not to worry. The smartest man in the world just jumped out with my backpack." Exodus chapter 25. Let's look at verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, oxen stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate." Verse 8, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." I want you to look at this verse 4, blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair. And I just want to convey to you what is in my spirit. DeQuincy, we are at a very important time, and we cannot, listen to me, we cannot afford to miss what God wants to do in this church. Tonight, I just pray that you would receive the word as it is in my spirit. I am not here to be harsh. I am here to push us in the spirit to say we cannot let up. We cannot give up. We must press on to do and to be what God has for this church. Would you pray with me? Father, tonight for the next few minutes, would you just anoint, God, my mind and my mouth. Help me to say it, Lord, the way you want me to say it. And I pray that the spirit, the womb of this church would be open to receive the seed of your word. And we thank you for it. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to give you a little background on our text. Moses was with the Lord on Mount Sinai for around 6 weeks. And while he was on the mountain for 6 weeks, the Lord gave him the Ten Commandments. Not only did God give him the Ten Commandments, but he also gave him the plan for what we know as Moses' tabernacle. The tabernacle of Moses would be a portable worship center for the children of God. It would not be until 500 years after the tabernacle of Moses that Solomon would build a temple for the name of the Lord. And in this instruction that Moses received on Mount Sinai, the Lord was very specific. I do not have and will not take the time to go into all the books, or should I say the chapters in Exodus, where God was very specific on how that he wanted things. But for the sake of time, let me just tell you that God said there's a certain way that I want my priestly garments. And there's a certain way that I want the curtains. And there's a certain way that I want the badger skins over the tabernacle. And there's a certain way that I want the furniture of the tabernacle. God was very specific in the way that he wanted his house of worship. God was very specific in giving intentional directions to Moses. So needless to say, God is a particular God. This anything goes, it's just for the church attitude was definitely not allowed. God said, I want fine linen. He wanted the very best that they had. And somewhere we've come to the 21st century and we've gotten the ideal that, hey, it's just for the church. So whatever, just it really doesn't matter. And many times we find ourselves giving just a half-hearted effort. And I am here tonight to remind all of us that that is the wrong attitude. God deserves our absolute best. Every time we wake up, God deserves our best. I want to preach to you not for long, but every time we come to church on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and a Wednesday night, God deserves our best praise. He deserves our highest praise. He deserves the very best that we can give him. If you believe that, then put your hands together and give God a hand clap of praise. Notice that God did not leave it up to the people to decide how to build the tabernacle. He made the decisions on what he wanted. God said, I want them to bring me fine linen. Brothers and sisters, God does not want your leftovers. He does not want my leftovers. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying to you that this is not about you wearing fine linen breeches or a fine linen shirt. That's not the point. We know and understand that in the New Testament is different than the Old Testament. But the principle is what I'm getting to tonight. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just as he's not asking us to bring badger skins to the house of God, he's not asking us to bring a lamb to the house of God. What he is asking everyone in TPC to bring is your very best. And when you come to God, you're not coming to God and giving him yesterday's leftovers. But regardless of how I feel, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. No, we are not under the law. Yes, we are under grace, but it doesn't mean that we should be sloppy. And I'm not talking necessarily about physical appearance. I'm really talking about the way we worship. Some people say, you know what? I just don't feel like praising God. This is not to be harsh, but who cares how we feel? We need to do it because God's word says to do it. Can I get an amen? In Psalm 146 through 150, it starts out the same. Psalm 146 starts out like this. It says, praise the Lord. And then it goes on to say, praise the Lord, O my soul. 147 says, praise the Lord. And then it goes on, for it is good to sing praises to our God. I want to take a side note here and say that music is a very important part in a Pentecostal church. Some like the hymns, some like the 80s, some like the 90s, some like the brand new stuff. But listen, friend, what we need to do is we need to sing whatever song it may be, whether it's Amazing Grace or whether it's one of these new ones. We got to make sure we're in unity, because it's not about do I like this hymn or do I like that one. It's about I'm going to give my best praise to the Lord. And when I come to the house of God, it's not about me, but it's about me lifting him up. Are you with me tonight? It goes on to say 148, praise the Lord. And then it says, praise the Lord from the heavens. 149, it says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. That's why we don't always just sing the old ones. We want to sing to the Lord a new song. We want to reach back there and get Amazing Grace, but we also want to sing a new song. But it's not necessarily about the song. It's about your attitude. When you come into the house of the Lord, we need to get rid of this attitude. Well, I like that, and I don't like this, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. The Holy Ghost checked me in my office the other day and reminded me we need an attitude adjustment. And the attitude is, it's not about us, it's all about Him. And if we will lift Him up, then He will draw all men unto Him. Help me lift Him up right now. Help me lift Him up, TPC. I greatly appreciate this church. I feel, my wife and I, we feel so very honored to be called your pastor. It is a great honor to stand behind this sacred desk and men that have filled this sacred desk, men that have preached to you the word of the Lord. And this church loves the word, and I love that you love the word, because we are begotten by the word. But it is not just the word only that we need. May I remind TPC that His word also says we should enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. I want to preach tonight, when we come into this house, we don't need to come into this house just roughshod and half shod. We need to walk in here saying, today we got to have a move of God, and I want to do my part to lift up the name of Jesus. I want to be sensitive to what God wants me to do in this service. Come on, give God some praise in this house. Can I preach? Again, I'm not trying to be harsh, and I just want to remind all of us tonight that God doesn't need your praise. You got quiet on that, but I'm going to prove it. God's got legions of angels, hundreds of thousands of angels that do nothing but day and night say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They praise Him day and night. So God, brothers and sisters, does not need our praise. It's not as though He's an egomaniac needing your praise. The reason why God wants worship, the reason why He wants you and I to worship Him, is so that you and I will not waste our life worshiping little gods who will ruin our life. You hear this man of God, you're going to worship something. You're going to worship at the sound of a cash register. You're going to worship a car. You're going to worship something. And God says, if you worship anything other than Me, you're worshiping the lesser God, and I'm the greater God. And when you worship the lesser God, it's always going to take it down. But when you worship the greater God, I'm always going to lift you up. God is not jealous because He needs you. God is jealous over you because anything other than Him is less than the best. And if you worship anything less than God with the big G, you're worshiping a little G God. And God said, I'm jealous of that, because I want only good for you, because I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you. I have plans to do you good. I have plans to give you a future. But when you worship a little God, that little God will take you down a road that you don't want to go. It'll keep you longer than what you want to stay. I'm here to tell you that we need to be lifting up the mighty name of Jesus. We need to give God our best. God doesn't need our giving. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Again, I'm not trying to be harsh, but you came into this world naked and you didn't have anything on. And when you leave, you're not going to leave with anything as far as material things. You came in naked and you're going to leave without anything. It all belongs to God. And for us to try to hoard stuff up and say, you know what, I can't give and I can't do this because I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Your pastor, with all the love in his heart, is coming to you tonight and wants to remind you that the reason you have breath in your lungs right now is because God woke you up this morning. And the reason you even have a job is because God blessed you with it. And the reason why you can even come and clap your hands is because God gave you the motor skills. In Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our very being. Look at three people and tell them God wants your best. Can I keep preaching? God doesn't need your rags. But He'll take your rags. And you know what He'll do? He'll take your old rags and He'll give you His robe of righteousness. We need to wake up, TPC. We need to jar ourselves and realize that we as Americans have become cynical. We as Pentecostals, we might need a little attitude adjustment because we get to thinking it's all about us. And God wants to remind us it's all about Him. And the Lord told me the other day that all of us, myself included, need an attitude adjustment. Are y'all receiving this? Bad attitudes are like diapers. They have to be changed or they start stinking. Did y'all hear that? I said bad attitudes are like diapers. They have to be changed or they start stinking. You heard Brother Sullivan. How many times have we heard the word of the Lord? Get ready. God wants to do something. I'm here to tell you the practical is that there's maybe somebody that's going to show up on your pew in the next month. And you've had that pew. And your little blessed assurance has been on that pew. And they may be taking your pew. And you need to realize this ain't my pew. This ain't my church. This is God's church. It's God's pew. It's God's people. Come on now. Now I'm hitting home. I'm going to say it again. Bad attitudes are like diapers. They have to be changed or they start stinking. What are you saying? I'm saying that every one of us, myself included, need to go back to the cross and say, God, make sure my attitude is right. I want to make sure that I'm saying it right, loving right, doing right, spitting white. Lord, adjust my attitude. Why? Because it's easy to get off into mumbling and complaining. It's very easy to get off and start talking about, I don't have this and I don't have that. And you know what? They got this and they got that. Paul said, listen, it's not wise to compare yourself among yourself. You're going to always find somebody that's got a little bit better, and you're going to always find somebody that's got a little bit worse. Quit looking at people. The Bible says this, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Get your eyes off of people. Get your eyes off of people. No, you're not hearing me. Get your eyes off of people and get your eyes on Jesus, and let's have a mighty revival that shakes this community, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's not our hormones that are making us depressed. It's what our mind's been set on. It's our thinking. If we would change our attitudes and begin to praise God in every situation. Are y'all with me? If there's anybody that had a right to have a rotten attitude, it was Paul and Silas. They had been doing good, nothing but good, preaching the name of Jesus, and got their place in jail for no other reason than preaching the name of Jesus. And they could have gotten a bad attitude and said, my God, this is what we get for preaching the name of Jesus. But they didn't. Instead, they had the right attitude and they started singing. I don't know what they were singing, but they may have sang, victory, victory shall be mine. I don't know. But God liked it so much that He started tapping His foot. And before long, He didn't realize how hard He was tapping His foot. And He got to tapping it so hard that an earthquake happened. Oh, you're not hearing me. And that jail broke open, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me. You're not going to complain your way out of what you're in right now. You're going to praise your way out. You're going to praise your way out. There is no magic formula. There is no wand. There is no pill. Here it is. I praise you, God, and I'm going to praise you with everything that I got in me. I'm going to tell this story, and I about run out of gas. Pastor told the story. Supposedly it's true. I read it from a very reliable source. His pastor said this happened to him. He said that he had started a home missions church. He pastored in Ohio. They were struggling, and the goodness of God came, and they were able, through the goodness of God, to buy a downtown bank building. It was a phenomenal four-story structure made of imparted marble. He said it was a big deal. He said so big, in fact, that the news media made a big deal out of it. And as a result, he, as a pastor, received a lot of phone calls. He said one lady called him and wanted to make a contribution. She said, Pastor, she said, I don't attend your church, but I've been reading the local newspaper and about the acquisition of the bank, and I'd like to give the church something. She said, we have an old, beat-up piano in our home. It needs a lot of work, and it's not very playable. She said, we just bought a fabulous new piano, and we would like to donate the old piano to your church. And the pastor said, I know we're supposed to respond and say, you know what? Oh, thank you, sis. Bless you. Yeah, we'll pick that right up. We're so grateful. He said, call it tack, but whatever. He said, I call it lying. He said, I said to that lady, listen, sweetheart, ma'am, thank you for calling, but we really don't want that beat up old piano in this church. We would be glad, however, to receive your new piano. Wham! He said, she hung up the phone. Several days later, one of his staff members just burst into his office announcing, Pastor, there's a moving van downstairs and they're bringing in a new piano. He thought that the piano people were confused, so he called the lady and he said, ma'am, apparently there's been a mistake. There's been a mix-up with your piano. There are movers downstairs bringing your new piano to the church, and I just wanted you to know. She interrupted, no, it's not a mistake. The pastor said she was sniffling. She had been crying. No, Pastor, I didn't sleep all night after talking to you. I didn't sleep a wink. I got to thinking that we were giving God church junk, and we were keeping the good piano for ourselves. So the new piano is for the church. Y'all, I'm done, but I'm here to tell you, too many times we said, God, here's my leftovers. I sure hope you like it. And God is saying, I love you, but I don't like leftovers. I don't want you coming into this house and giving me junk. I want your best praise. I want your highest praise. Y'all are not hearing me tonight. Come on, stand to your feet and give God your best praise right now. I just remain standing. I got to quit. I've got more to say, but I'm going to quit.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC. Loving God and loving people.